McFarland, Bishop John W. Grant, age 84 of McFarland, passed away on Sunday, June 8th, 2025, at a Grace Hospice Care. He was born on November 14th, 1940, in Henderson, Texas, the son of Emery and Frances Wallace Grant. John, Brother Grant, graduated from Henderson High School in 1959. He married his high school sweetheart, Darlene Smith, on November 6, 1959, in Henderson, Texas. For 42 years, Bishop Grant faithfully shepherded his congregation at Calvary Gospel Church from 1972 until he retired in 2014. Brother Grant left a legacy of compassion, wisdom, and unwavering devotion to God. His ministry touched countless lives, and we are grateful for the many years he and Sister Grant poured into our congregation and community. He loved to preach and tell people about the wonderful God he served. Brother Grant loved being with people. He would sit out on the patio watching birds and looking for gophers in the yard. When he was younger, he loved to ride horses. Brother Grant is survived by his loving wife, Darlene, and two sisters, Carolyn Ricks Bussey and Marilyn Roger Black. He is also survived by many cherished nieces and nephews. His legacy continues through the family of his late son, Steve Grant, including three grandchildren and four great-grandchildren. His son, Roy and Lois Grant, and their family, including one grandchild and two great-grandchildren, and his son, John, with Lori Grant, and their family, including three great-grandchildren and four great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, Francis and Emery, two sisters, Josie Rutherford and Patricia Mitchum, beloved son, Steve Grant, and great-grandson, Dean Grant. Celebration of life will be held at Calvary Gospel Church, 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, at 2 p.m. on Saturday, June 21st, 2025, with Pastor John Seidel presiding. A private family burial will be held at Roselawn Memorial Park. Visitation will be held at the church from 11 a.m. until the time of the service on Saturday. A luncheon at church will follow the service. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be gifted in John's name to Elveter Capillary Dysplasia, or ACD, or Jack's Basket. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. The family would like to extend their heartfelt thanks to A Grace Hospice Care, Marital Hospital, and Pastor Peter, the pastoral staff, and the family of Calvary Gospel Church for their exceptional care, kindness, and support during this time. Your compassion will always be remembered and deeply cherished.
It is my honor to stand here before you today and share some thoughts and comments from Marvin Renvick, who didn't think he could stand here and thought that I could. The family asked if anyone wanted to say anything, and how could I refuse to say something about a man that prayed a refrigerator back to life? Everyone that is here today has been impacted by Brother Grant at some point in their life. From the moment he gave his heart to the Lord, he set out to fulfill God's purpose, and that's just what he did. Even though there were many roadblocks along the way, he kept following God's footsteps. He had a passion to share his knowledge of God's word and lived it every day. He was a man of great faith, patience, and integrity. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I have tears of joy rather than tears of sadness, because I know he fulfilled what he set out to do. He was my pastor, my teacher, my leader, my mentor, my friend, and a father when I needed him. I can't help but think that God knew that we needed each other in this life, and if I had a choice, I would do it all over again. The list is far too long for me to share how great an impact you have had on my family's life. I will cherish the times we've had together, the talks we've had. I'll miss being able to walk next door and ask you your thoughts about a Bible verse. Some people come into your life for a reason, some for a season, and some for a lifetime. Brother Grant is for a lifetime. To Sister Grant, thank you for the opportunity. When you and Brother Grant invited me into your home, I didn't even know that's what I needed at that time. To the family and everyone here, Brother Grant once told me, God is in control and he will get you through it. So I will say to you, keep following his footsteps, keep walking by faith, because God is in control and he will get you through it. Marvin Rendick.
It's my honor to deliver a eulogy, which is by definition a speech of praise. But before I do that, I'd like to remind everyone that people have more fun than anybody. One source says that when you write a eulogy, you're not just listing life achievements or recounting memories. You're telling a story that celebrates the entirety of a person's life. I'd like to share some achievements and some memories of John Wesley Grant's life and ministry and celebrate them with you. How can we capture and put into words the essence of a man who was so many things to so many people? Each person here has a John Grant story. Each one of us has an imprint on our own lives left by him. Each person here has a little different perception and memory of John Grant. Part of the reason for that is that he was such a multifaceted, multi-talented man. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, a Renaissance man was the ideal of a man that can do all things if he will. This humanist concept is improved upon by Paul's statement when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Brother Grant's life exemplified this biblical truth. He did so many things through the strength of Jesus Christ. Brother Grant had many more talents than the ability to powerfully preach and teach the Word of God. As a boy, he hustled work on the docks in Galveston, Texas, cleaning shrimp boats and doing odd jobs. Later, he was proud of the time that he spent working as a draftsman for R.G. Letourneau. He also spent some time working on conservation crews, fighting fires by making fire breaks with heavy equipment. He was a man's man. When he was in La Crosse, he worked as a carpenter and led work crews. I've seen many of his architectural drawings and seen him accurately and easily draw things freehand. Today he'd be called a creative. The breadth of his understanding of how things worked in the physical world seemed to have no limits. His active and forceful intellect always lent itself to productive hard work. Linguistics tells us that the name Grant comes from the Norman French word for grand or great. I think it's fair to say that John Grant was a great man. The concept of the great man is under fire today. That's maybe because that phrase means so many different things to different people. On the other hand, you may be familiar with the great man theory of leadership. The great man theory of leadership suggests that some individuals are born with characteristics that naturally make them skilled leaders. Well, I can't say if it was nurture or nature that made Brother Grant into the great man and great leader that he was. But I do know that there was a lot of grit, determination, and submission to God. He was awarded a scholarship to art school, but he felt the call of God and chose instead to go to Texas Bible College. He was asked to preach at a couple of churches during that time while he was under Brother Enos Fuller as his pastor. One of those churches needed a pastor. Brother Grant responded to God's call and took that small town church in his native Texas, small town of Cushing. One story he liked to share about those times was how when they opened the windows during hot service nights, they would have to worry about the bats flying in and getting caught up in the Pentecostal women's hair. You know the next story I'm going to tell. Another favorite story was about the time they were meeting and a local hound dog decided to come to church. If I have the story right, this poor pooch was so heavily burdened with sin, he couldn't wait for the altar call. He came right down to the front, sat down in front of the pulpit, and proceeded to loudly howl out his repentance. I don't know if he actually prayed through or not. But this Texas preacher, still a young man, was not going to stay in Texas. God had laid a burden on his heart for the state of Wisconsin. While he was seeking God's direction, he received a letter with answers to the questions he was asking God. A letter from a woman in Wisconsin that he had never met. God's will became clear. So the Grants came to Wisconsin and started a church in Shawano, which still exists today. They later took a church in La Crosse, which was in need of revitalization. From there, they came to Madison, Wisconsin, to be the pastor of Calvary Gospel Church and oversee 40-plus years of ministry, preaching, teaching, and growth. Many of you have heard the story of Brother Grant's experience in a Wisconsin store when he was still a fresh transplant from Texas. He asked the clerk, in his not northern drawl, Where's the awl? The clerk's directions led him to... You're laughing because so many of you know this story. The clerk's directions led him to the household aisle, where he found himself looking at the Cheer and the Tide and the awl laundry detergents. He decided to go back to the clerk. He said, "Ma'am, that was the wrong aisle. I need awl, you know, awl for my car, motor awl." During his time in Wisconsin, Brother Grant held several district positions. These included district Sunday school director, sectional presbyter, and, of course, district superintendent. He was also an active leader in the development of the facilities on the district campground. While he was progressing in leadership in the district, he was preaching and teaching home Bible studies, discipling saints, and training preachers at Calvary Gospel Church. His training even reached down to the point of how to wear a tie properly and how to shine your shoes. There are about 40 or 50, how many, Brother Johnny? 50 ties of Brother Grant's that are being worn by men all around the room right now. There's so many memories that it's hard to condense it. Besides being a leader in the district and ministering to so many at Calvary Gospel Church, he and Leona Darlene Grant were raising a family with three talented rambunctious boys. The infamous Grant boys. Johnny, Roy, and Steve. One of the ideas associated with the great man theory that I mentioned suggests that great men become great leaders at the time when they are needed the most. Another phrase that describes this type of leader is that one was a man of his times. It's said concerning Isaac Newton that the publication of the Principia marked the moment when science came of age. The writer continued to say that Isaac Newton was a man of his times, putting clearly into words ideas that were bubbling up all around. Newton expressed more clearly what other scientists were already struggling to express. These words describe well the ministry of Brother Grant. His teaching on Christian principles came to our fellowship at a time when we needed it, and we were ready to receive it. Brother Grant began teaching stewardship classes at Calvary Gospel Church by 1980. He expanded his curriculum to over 40 lessons. Meanwhile, he began teaching these lessons to the district. He developed lessons on Christian disciplines, practical holiness, Christian ethics, and ministerial ethics, among other topics. His teaching ministry grew to become national and international in scope. But many of us still remember the early overheads that were prepared and presented with the help of Carolyn Thorpe and others. I believe Sister Diane had something to do with that too. Then he began to teach those lessons and put them on video, which later proved that there was a time when Brother Grant had hair on top of his head. But this teaching had a broad and lasting impact. It was a time when the church needed disciples and teachers and preachers. And those disciples and teachers and preachers were hungry for teaching and training. And God had a man for his times. How many are here from Calvary Gospel Church? I see Brother Felix Crowder in the room. From Calvary Gospel Church that are preachers and teachers licensed, maybe not licensed, that came up under Brother Grant's ministry. I'd like you to stand. If you're a preacher, teacher that came up under Brother Grant's ministry, please remain standing for just a second. How many others are here that are preachers and teachers, licensed and unlicensed, that heard Brother Grant's teaching and preaching at a camp or a conference, and God used it to prepare you to minister in the Word or impacted your call to ministry? Maybe you weren't a member of Calvary Gospel, but his preaching had a big impact on your life as a preacher or teacher. Please stand and remain standing. How many are here from Calvary Gospel Church and from all around the district and even the country that can say Brother Grant's teaching impacted your life and it's part of the reason that you're living for God today? Please stand. Let's give God glory for what he has done through one great man, one godly man, one man used of God for his time on earth. Praise God. You can be seated. This is one of Brother Grant's greatest legacies. If I can flip the phrase a little, he was a man of God for his time. He was the man of God for his time for that small church in Texas. He was the man of God for his time when he started the church in Shawano. He was the man of God for the time when the church in La Crosse needed to be revitalized. He was the man of God for the time for Calvary Gospel Church for 42 years. He was the man of God for his time leading the Wisconsin district from 1981 well into the 21st century. Thank you, Brother Grant. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for what you have done.
that's so sure, I'll fly away. Fly away, oh glory, fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To joys will never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh Gloria, fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly
to lift up the name of Jesus. This is his house. We bless your name, Lord. We worship you, God. Thank you, Lord, for a man of God. Thank you for a preacher. Thank you for a voice for our generation. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I salute the Calvary Gospel Church family. Pastor Sandin, this amazing ministry team, Sister Grant. Brother Grant told me one time, he said, when I pray, I thank God for my parents, my pastor, and my wife. And then he said this, he said, but I thank God at the beginning and the end of my prayer for my wife. And so I salute you. What an incredible partnership. We love you and we're praying for you, sister. Roy and Lois, Heather and I love you so much. And thank you so much for this opportunity. John and Lori and to this host of grandkids and great-grands, Carolyn and Marilyn. Heather and I continue to pray for you in this season of profound loss. Calvary Gospel, thank you for sharing, Brother Grant, with this district and with our fellowship. You have been well-fed and well-led spiritually under succession of great pastors, Pastor John Grant, Pastor Roy Grant, and now Pastor Peter Sandin. And there's a lot that I could say about my relationship with Brother Grant, but let me just say that I was in awe of Brother Grant as a young man and honored that he would open his pulpit and his world to me in friendship. He never treated me like a junior preacher. He always treated me as a colleague and a friend. And one of the great honors of my life will have been to have graced this pulpit on this day. I took notes of every conversation that I had with Brother John Grant. And as you can imagine, there were quite a few nuggets in those conversations. And I want to entitle this message today, A Few Nuggets. Does anybody have a pocket full of John Grant nuggets, by the way? You know what I'm talking about. The man would just throw something out there that would just change your life forever. And it was just normal, common wisdom. And I remember one time he said, you know, my high-level goal in preaching is to give people enough information to make right choices. Note takers, write this down. It changed my whole life. I never looked at preaching and teaching the same again, and I wonder what my preaching and teaching ministry would look like as a pastor had I not heard that offhanded remark. We could all say amen to Brother Grant's wisdom and what a transformation it has been to our lives. I've enjoyed a lifetime of value from those nuggets. They've become building blocks to my life and ministry. And so I'm going to give a few nuggets. Everybody say few, which means three. Three nuggets. And they're simple nuggets, but I think they're appropriate for today for all of us. It will be good for us. Nugget number one. You ready? Note takers. Keep the focus on Jesus. Keep the focus on Jesus. Now, Brother Grant said this, and I'm quoting because I took copious notes whenever we talked. He said there's very little difference between success and failure. And he said that little difference is what you are focusing on, Jesus or the devil. And then he said, if you want to get Pentecostals excited, start preaching about the devil. He said they like to defeat the devil more than they like to find victory in Jesus. Anytime you talk more about the devil, I'm still quoting, anytime you talk more about the devil than Jesus, you won't have revival. Devils are real. They want to steal, kill, and destroy. Ignore them and keep your focus on Jesus. When you start looking at how many devils you are fighting, you won't see that God is fighting for you. Unquote. Bishop's preaching right now. He's preaching right now. That's a nugget, folks. Brother Grant said to me one time, he said, I'm quoting, he said, there's a need for a sound of victory in every service. And he said, victory is not in prayer, but in Jesus. He said, that's why prayer meetings are sometimes not good. They talk about prayer, not Jesus. He said, when you talk about worship, you won't have good worship. If you want good worship, talk about Jesus. Anybody seeing a theme here? When you preach, the main focus is not preaching, it's Jesus. It has to be Jesus all the way. And the church said, amen. Another time he said to me, every service needs to be a wow service. A wow service happens when there's a sovereign move of God, and moves of God happen when we focus on Jesus. Brother Grant brought this theme up many times, and I'm sure that I'm not the first one who heard these things. But my dear brothers and sisters, there's not just wisdom in this nugget, there's a word in this nugget. There's Bible in this nugget. And can I just preach for a moment that whatever season you are in, Jesus Christ is a worthy focus for your life. Paul, speaking of Jesus, wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. What a worthy focus. Jude, the brother of Jesus, said in Jude chapter 1, verses 24 through 25, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Hallelujah. We need to keep our focus on Jesus. How many of you know we serve a big God? How many of you know his name? Keep your focus on Jesus. It's no wonder that Paul said in Romans 8 and 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's no wonder that the psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Keep your focus on Jesus no matter the season of your life, whether it's suffering or grief or betrayal or abandonment. Focus on the right thing. Focus on our sinless Savior who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, who will keep us from falling and present us faultless before his glory. That's a good word. This is a good word for pastors. Keep your focus on Jesus. If you're experiencing adversity, keep your focus on Jesus. This is a good word for churches that are in transition. Keep your focus on Jesus. This is a good focus for a family that is grieving. Keep your focus on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is able to keep you. Nugget number two. You ready? Note takers, write this down. Preach forgiveness, but don't forget to practice it. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgressions from us. Is there anybody here who's thankful for the forgiveness of God? How many of you are thankful that his forgiveness is full and final? Failure never has the last word when you give it to Jesus. God doesn't rub it in. He rubs it out with his precious blood. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. For believers, the cross not only provides us assurance, it also provides us motivation when it is our turn to forgive. And there are countless ways in ministry and in life to be wounded. Abuse, addiction, apathy, anger, unfaithfulness. But the crucifixion, the cross, motivates us to forgive the hurts that we experience, intentional or unintentional. And it is necessary that every trauma, every drama, every hurt, every offense, no matter how bad, no matter how painful, ends with forgiveness. When it's our turn at the plate of forgiveness, let us make sure that we don't strike out. Because forgiveness is not only the right response, it's a matter of making or missing heaven. I don't see one person in the Bible who champions the benefit of drinking the haterade rather than forgiving. I see the other. Over and over again, the Bible illustrates the power of God's forgiveness. Over and over again, the Bible calls us to give forgiveness. God gave forgiveness to us. He sustains us with his forgiveness, and then it is our turn. What happened to you may have been unfair, painful, but choose to not forgive is to be a prisoner of your past. There's no exit strategy. There's no getting out of this prison on good behavior. It's a life sentence and a death sentence all at the same time. Because I'm out of position in life and I'm out of position with God when I choose to not forgive. If we refuse when it's our turn, God will refuse when it's his turn. In short, forgiveness is not an option. It's an imperative. It's absolutely necessary for now and for eternity. And there is a righteous path, church, through your pain. There's a righteous path. There's healing in your pain. There's wholeness in your pain. Don't reject your moment. We're all going to have an opportunity to forgive. With every offense, there will be a choice. And one of the final conversations that I had with Brother Grant, he told me, I'm not losing my faith. It's all I've got. And he said, I preached forgiveness for years. I've practiced forgiveness, and I'm ready. I don't know what your story is. I can tell you, I'm privileged to serve a church. I'm privileged to be a pastor, and I might have had a rough patch here or there with a saint or two. You know how it goes. Every once in a while, you get on the wrong side with somebody, and I'm sure that I've stepped on a few toes. I can tell you positively, as a matter of fact, I'm under delivering the moment right here, right now. And folks, you're going to need mercy someday, and your pastor needs mercy sometimes. And I'm sure that in Brother Grant's long life, there were moments and hurts. There were situations, but this great man of God, who was a truth teller, told me, he said, I've preached forgiveness for years, and I've practiced forgiveness, and I'm ready. This brings me to the final point, note takers, the third nugget. Don't plan to be ready for eternity. Live ready. Thank you, Brother Grant, for that word. Last year, Brother Grant shared with me a prognosis that wasn't good. His end was on the horizon. And he said to me, I've had a great journey. I have no fear of dying. I hate to say goodbye to my wife, my children, my grandchildren, but I'm looking forward to seeing my loved ones. I'm not going to cry or whine. I'm going to teach people how to die. And he said, I'm ready. John Grant's last lesson was how to die ready. I want to ask you an important question. Are you ready? Or are you planning to be ready? Brother Grant had many chapters in his life and ministry. In every chapter, there were summits, there were sinkholes, triumphs, and pains. There were seasons when he had to tie himself to the mast and ride out the storm. But every day he prayed, he searched his heart, and he came out of that prayer room ready. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 5 tells us that a wise man's heart discerns time and judgment. There are an infinite number of concerns in this day and age, but Solomon, a man blessed with divine wisdom from God, said that wise men are discerners of time and judgment. Everybody say time. Everybody say judgment. These two concerns of wise men are universal issues in every life on this planet. Why would wise men be concerned about time and judgment? Because Solomon went on to write in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 6, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. There is nothing that escapes time, and there is nothing that you do that escapes judgment. Everyone in the sanctuary has a measure of time to live in and an appointment with the great judge of the universe before them. Everything you do will cost you precious time, and everything you do will be judged by God. So it's important for me to ask myself, how am I using this exhaustible measure of time? And when my time ends and the judge brings the verdict, what will it be? These were the concerns of wise men. It was a concern of our dear friend and leader, Brother John Grant. Can I remind you of an old song, and probably few will remember this. Only one life. So soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do His will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays when you recall you have but one life. My brothers and sisters, be discerners of time and judgment. Some people feel that there will always be time. Time to get things right. Time to prepare for eternity. And they use time like a credit card. They just kind of swipe the card and they're expecting there's going to be another paycheck. There's going to be another day, another month, another year. But I want to tell you that we are not promised tomorrow. And time ultimately does conquer all. There's no human arm so strong that time cannot weaken it. There's no back so straight that time cannot bend it. There's no feet so swift that time cannot slow them. There's no structure so great that time cannot ruin it. But hear me tonight, that time can work for you or it can work against you. And if you'll just look back at the last year, you can answer that question for you. Has time been refining you as a Christian or declining you? Have you lost your passion? Have you lost your purpose? Or are you drawing closer to God? Are you closing the gap on your purpose? I want to preach to somebody today and tell you, we need to be ready. The time is now. I want time to work for us. I want us to rise and realize this is the greatest hour of the church. I want to be a part of what God is doing in this last day. Somebody said amen. To the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. There's going to be increase in God's government. There's going to be increase in His church, and I'm going to be a part of it. I'm not going to be sitting on the bench. I'm not going to be backsliding. I'm going to be at an altar. I'm going to recover what the enemy has taken from me. Hallelujah. A wise man's heart discerns time and judgment. Hebrews 9:27. As the musicians come, it is appointed unto every man once to die, and then the judgment. There's a day of judgment. Brother Grant was a wise man. And he considered time and judgment. He finished his race ready when he could have had many excuses to be bitter. Could have had many excuses to say, I don't understand that tragedy. I don't understand that loss. But he looked to Jesus. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And on this day, God won't be judging you based on your nationality. On this day, God won't be reviewing your education. On this day, God won't be judging you according to your popularity. Talent will have nothing to do with the outcome. Gender will not impact your placement. We won't stand before God as youth pastors, as members of a church, as praise singers, musicians. All titles will be gone. No one on that day will be called pastor or doctor or Mr. President. Everyone will stand before God with their souls bared, and the Lord will either see clean hands and hearts, washed with His blood and kept by His Spirit, or He's going to see grimy hands and infected hearts, unfit to walk in holy places. And as a shepherd, the Lord is going to divide the sheep from the goats, and the sheep are going to stand on His right hand and the goats on His left. And when the dividing of the nations is complete, the Lord is going to speak, and He is going to invite those sheep, His children, into that holy city, that resplendent place, standing there ready to receive His people. And the others cast, banished forever, exiled from His presence. And what a contrast. Will you stand with me for a moment? There are a few nuggets here, And we need to be ready, church. We need to keep our focus on Jesus. And let's forgive. Let's be ready. Do you know Jesus? Do you know he ascribes worth to you right now? And that the cross is the window into the heart of God for you now. He shed his blood to atone for your sins and my sins. And we've all sinned. There's no such thing as a good person in this world. We've all fallen short. But Jesus came. Yes, there's a cancer in the soul, but there's a cure. And his name is Jesus. And today you can repent of your sins. And you can agree with God's opinion of you. You're a sinner. And you can ask the Lord to forgive you. And he's faithful and just. You know what? I bet we could probably get a baptistry open today and we could baptize you in the saving name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit in your life. Do you know Jesus? Have you been cleansed? You know, you're not clean just because you work at a soap factory. Did you know that? Did you know you're not clean just because you're in proximity to the solution? You need to apply it to your life. I wonder if everybody in this place, I don't know if I've said one thing that's helped you today, but those nuggets helped me. And I want us just to take a moment to focus on Jesus in this new season without our dear friend. And that feels different for different people in this place. And then I want us to think about our heart and forgiveness. And then I want us to have assurance that we are ready for the Lord's return. In Jesus' name, the universal sign of surrender is to lift your hands. Would you surrender to the Lord right there now? Would you lift your hands and surrender to Jesus? Father, we lift our voice to you. We lift our hearts to you. We are thankful, Lord, for the witness of a great man who had an obsession. It was you, Lord. And in every season of his life, he focused on you. And so, God, I look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. Lord, I am not equipped to hold the pen to write my story. Will you take the pen? Will you create in me a clean heart and renew my spirit, oh God? Oh Lord, I release those who have hurt me, those who have wronged me, those who offended me. Lord, I've been swimming in deep waters of your grace. And I'm not about to drown in 6 inches of offense today. Lord, I release those who have hurt me, God, and I'm moving forward in Jesus' name. And Lord, I look to you right now. Search me. Search my heart. Pass my life through the furnace of truth. See if there's any unclean way in me. I want to be ready, Lord. In the name of Jesus, my heart is open today, God. I'm not hiding anything from you. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your voice to heaven, church? Can we call on the name of Jesus right now?
Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. To the Grant family, on behalf of the Comfort Care Committee of the United Pentecostal Church International and the Wisconsin District, we express our deepest sincerity and condolence to you, your family, and your loved one, and to the Calvary Gospel Church at the death of your loved one. We know that your loved one has impacted the lives of many. I stand before you as one of those whom your loved one has impacted. And so today we would like to present with you a certificate of honor and a flag on behalf of the United Pentecostal Church International for your loved one's commitment and dedication to his ministry and the organization. The certificate reads, Certificate of Honor. This flag being presented to you is the official flag of the United Pentecostal Church International and was flown over world headquarters in Weldon Springs, Missouri. Reaching the people of this world with our message is the vision that has drawn us and bound us together. On behalf of General Superintendent David K. Bernard, the Executive Board and General Board, the officials of the United Pentecostal Church International, and our grateful ministers and saints, please accept this flag and certificate of honor for your family as a symbol of our appreciation for faithful and dedicated service as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by your loved one, Reverend John W. Grant. The scripture says, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Presented by Rufus Parker at Calvary Gospel Church, June 21st, 2025.
John Grant most definitely impacted my life. There's many things that John Grant said that I certainly will not forget. He was the first person to tell me that he didn't like drinking diet soda because everybody that drank diet soda was heavy. He said that he liked pancakes, especially Swedish pancakes, because they were so thin, and he felt that he could eat those. And everything was fine. He also said, I heard him say, Darlene, if you ever leave me, I'm going with you. Our hearts go out to you, Sister Grant. We love you very much. Mary and I love you, and we're praying for you. We honor you. John and Lori, your family, Roy and Lois, we honor you, all of you. Calvary Gospel Church, there's a loss here. 41 years ago, my wife and I came to this district. We had been elected as pastor of the Full Gospel Church in West Bend. Came to the district. I remember immediately we needed a building. Immediately, we were in a house, a living room, and a dining room was our sanctuary. And I was so young, wife so young, 26 years old and 25 years old, my wife. And we were looking for a building, looking for anything. And it was just, remember, we came across some land after going through so many different things. And it was a Saturday afternoon, and somehow we had to move on it quick. And I remember calling Brother Grant, saying, Brother Grant, I don't know what to do. And got this land and different things, and we've been frustrated. He said, Sister Grant and I'll come right away, Jim. And they, on a Saturday afternoon, drove, came, looked at the land, and he said, this is good land. You should buy this. And through some miraculous things, we were able to purchase that land, and that's the land where our building is on. And it's because of Brother Grant helping a young preacher. I remember we went to camp. Brother and Sister Grant were always so kind to us. Went to camp again. I don't know if it was our maybe third camp to come to. And I was sitting in the audience, and Brother Grant was up there. And he was by himself. regular the district board wasn't there, and he started. He was, and I did. I was looking around, thinking, certainly he's not talking to me. And he said, "Yeah, you, Jim, come here." So he brought me up on the platform, and I'm sitting there. It's just, you know, camp meeting. I mean, you know, place is packed, and I'm sitting next to Bishop John Grant. And I said, "Brother Grant, I don't really feel comfortable sitting up here." He said, "Oh, you're a good man, Jim." And also, I was lonely. I remember through a series of things, and I won't go into the story, but I had an opportunity to leave the state, leave the church that I felt God called us to, and to go and leave here to another position. And a lot of things happened, and I accepted, and then I turned it down. And I remember Brother Grant calling me, and he said, "So you're not going to take this position, are you, Jim?" And I said, "No, sir." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, I just don't feel it's the will of the Lord." And he said, "Well, let me tell you something, Jim. I don't know when, but someday you're going to be the district superintendent of Wisconsin." And I say that in no way, because I'm not qualified to stand here, let alone lead this incredible district that Brother Grant led for so many years and Brother Putnam led for so many years. But I say that to say this. John Grant believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And I dare say that I am talking to a whole host of people that John Grant believed in you when you didn't even believe in yourself. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we love you so very much. And we are so thankful today as we celebrate the life of this man of God who preached, who teached, taught, who loved this incredible truth, but he loved you with everything. He loved his family, loved his wife. We thank you, Lord, for that life. And we thank you, Lord, for the impact he's made on each and every one of us. And Father, I pray, you're the God of all comfort. And so, Lord, there will be a hole there. And I pray, Lord, in the coming days and weeks and months and years, as things happen that will remind us of Brother Grant, let us, Lord Jesus, be thankful for his life, how he impacted us. And, Lord, let us look to you and focus on you and call out to you, because you're a friend that's closer, amen, than a brother. You're as close as the mention of your name. I pray the blessing of Almighty God upon the Grant family. I pray the blessing of Almighty God upon Calvary Gospel Church. I pray the blessing of Almighty God on the Wisconsin District. Lord, help us, dear God, to draw near to you and to each other, we pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. There will be a luncheon to follow, and everyone is invited to stay and to give comfort and conversation and talk with the Grant family and with one another as we remember what Brother Grant meant to each and every one of us. I would ask that you would remain seated until the ushers will dismiss you to go. We're going to conclude this. Apparently, I was told Brother Grant, after a two-week fast of prayer, seeking the face of the Lord, God gave him a song. And the song was not meant, you know, for just one time, but he would sing it at every Christmas banquet. I've never heard this song, but I believe that it will give me a message for tomorrow morning to preach in West Bend. And so they're going to come. I am not singing this, musicians.
Just a bowl of butter beans. Pass the cornbread, if you please. I don't want no collard greens. Just a bowl of butter beans. Pass the cornbread, if you please. I don't want no collard greens. Just a bowl of butter beans. Pass the cornbread, if you please. I don't want no collard greens. Just a bowl of butter beans. It's like you can't stop.